All right, we are here. Episode 16 of the Race BMX Show, Ride Out and Culture Exchange. After talking with Noah Benjamin, we'll discuss whether we should be calling it just a ride or a ride out, but that's another story. If you've ever watched this show or done rides, you know that I ride 41 Thursday and 4130 Subway Series the most. And we know in Southern California that there's the Harbor Rides and Kenny's got the Beach Rides. And we know that the guys in Santa Barbara have the 4130. The Blockheads are in the desert. 6061 has got all of up north covered. It goes on and on. But for the beginning, we're going to ask Noah Benjamin, the mayor of Hollywood, the man who started 4130, the same things we would ask any BMXer. What was your first BMX bike?
Well, first off, I appreciate you coming out to the cabin for this.
My pleasure, man.
Yeah. My first BMX bike was a Mongoose, was a nickel-plated Mongoose, heavy as a tank. It was gold and yellow parts.
Moto Mags?
No Moto Mags.
Okay.
Right. This was nothing flashy, nothing exciting about this bike. My dad picked this bike up at a secondhand store.
Okay.
But it was a nickel-plated Mongoose. My sprocket was bent. I remember the chain would come off over and over again, and actually probably pretty dangerous looking. But that was my first bike, and I loved that bike. I grew up in Simi Valley.
Were you a natural rider or a track guy or a backyard guy?
I was a basketball guy. So growing up playing basketball, the bike was my transportation to anywhere I wanted to go shoot hoops. So it was never really about, I had my buddy Danny. He had a bunch of trophies. I remember being really impressed by his trophy. And since I grew up in Simi is kind of like ground zero for Mongoose. Skip Hess and some of these guys were either in Chatsworth or in Simi.
I normally don't like to interrupt people, but I will point out that you're still riding a Mongoose.
Yes, yes. And we'll get to that.
Okay.
And the reason.
Yeah.
But yes, Simi is strong Mongoose roots. So I remember the dude in my neighborhood, he had every single Mongoose hung upside down in his garage.
In that time period also, Simi Valley was the right amount of something to do and nothing to do when BMX was coming out, when kids were still riding around for transpo everywhere, right? Like,
you could still get to Venice Beach and see whatever culture was going on there. There was definite Santa Ana was close by. All the places where you think of traditional Southern California BMX was real close to Simi and very influential to a town like Simi Valley.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But it was transpo as a kid. You weren't a big part of that scene at the time, right?
We would do trails, go to trails.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, so back then in Simi, we probably had 5 or 6 spots and maybe have some doubles, a tabletop. You know,
yeah, was it like I grew up in Manhattan Beach, but before I went to New York, every vacant lot had a track on it.
It was very similar to that. You can go and just ride, it was very unorganized and people taking spills and kind of a trial by error type of BMX.
All right, yeah,
but definitely did some of that and always had magazines, always had
BMX Action and BMX Plus.
It just was always into
I always tried to do the drawing contest. One of them had a, remember that?
I don't,
like if you drew a perfect BMX photo, you could win whatever awesome bike was going on. I actually had just watched the Mongoose documentary. Even though I already met you, was talking to you about your bike before we realized we were each other again, because I'd only met you once. And you're now riding a Mongoose Cause. What is that, a 26? 24?
26, yeah. Okay, Cause would come out to our, Jeff Kosmoller comes out to our Vegas rides when we were doing Vegas. He was one of the coolest cats. I mean, you know, of all the true, legit legends. That guy was one of the most, he's like a PK, Perry, you know, one of the most down-to-earth mofos that you can imagine. So when I was coming looking for a bike, it was important for me. Growing up, I always wore Jordans, and I might not even think Jordan's like the coolest dude. You know, I know he's good on the court, he's got great, you know, competitive, but when he walked off the court, the guy, you know, but Jeff Kosmoller was like, man, I could really support this guy. At the time, he was coming out, he was bringing out the ride, or the 26-inch, which hadn't been out since in 1981. So he was involved with this brand manager and they from Mongoose, and they put together a very limited round of these bikes.
The cruisers.
Cruisers. And Jeff was in the beginning. I'm not sure what ended up happening, but Jeff was all for it. I saw
the documentary. He was the tallest guy on the team, so they just kind of said, you do it. And then he got second place in his first race.
Yeah.
And he's like, if we tweak this, I can get first place.
That was the first round. I'm talking when we in like, these came out 2012.
Oh, okay.
The second round. And so I sought out the guy, and I got the number one serial number, which I'm very proud about. So that bike is it's 001 serial number. I also got a bunch of stuff from Jeff, all kinds of all the promos that they had for it at that time. So yeah, that bike to me is a very proud bike. I ride it with pride, and it's comfortable. I can ride wheelies on it. So that's and it does boomerang back to my childhood of growing up in a strict, you know, mongoose area. Real quick about the mongoose is the first free wheel I remember. My bike was a coaster bike. My first bike.
My Schwinn was.
The first free wheel I remember getting on was my buddy Tony Calderoni that lived down the block.
Tony Calderoni
had the Super Goose. The manga was a Super Goose. It was red, and it was...
I remember the Super Goose.
It had the free wheel, and me and my buddy would just get on and take rides. It blew my mind that the only brake was just... And now, you know, but that was one of the most influential moments for me growing up.
Still to this minute, every time I push my pedals backwards, I'm happy about free wheels. God, can you like still on a coaster brake and you, it sucks. Okay. Yeah. So I just dropped some coins. We talked, you know, that you rode as a kid. I started riding with 4130. I found them on Instagram after a dude in Culver City when I was working in a bike pop-up is like, is that a ripper? And he's like, there's this ride. And then he's like, he tells me about the ride. Then I'm down at the beach and I see these two guys on these things called Craig Turners, which I'm like,
Gary Turners.
And I'm like, that reminds me of GT. And they're like, yeah, Gary Turner's GT. It was Cole and Scott.
Uh-huh.
And then they tell me that was like 2 days before my first 4130. And then these guys tell me about Thursday. And then every random person over the course, if you're interested in what's going on besides just the ride, you're like, what is this, you know, and Instagram. And I was riding in New York by myself for 7 years, except the two friends I talked into it. And everyone's like, the mayor. And, you know, down at the beach, they're like, the mayor. And then in the city, they're like, yeah, the mayor, Eastern, and the mayor. And I'm like, the mayor. And this is the mayor.
Yeah.
This guy started. And like, you heard me list in the intro, all these rides are and. You know, D-Blocks and his crew are rolling 450 deep in, you know, New York.
Right, aren't you guys uptown ride out sometimes? What are numbers are they doing? Like, they're making the news
like
and stuff.
Like 400,
500. I did one New York ride with some Long Beach suburban guys. Like, I forget when. My girlfriend's brother was part of that. And, like, but then when I start learning from 6061 and even from the guys that I ride with at 4130, it all comes back to you. And that's why I'm here to talk to you about these rides, you know, and SE produces rides now, but I heard that, you know, the guys that ride with SE now used to ride on your ride when they weren't the managers of SE and stuff. So I'm handing it over now.
All right. Well, the 4130 started with me and a close buddy of mine from high school, Kamisi Thurman. We were, you know, we were close friends. He always had a bike. For the most part, I always had a bike too. But what ended up happening was he came out to my place to hang out, and I had just gotten one of my GTs back from my mom's. Because I always had these when I was in LA. It's probably similar to New York, Manhattan. Space is very limited.
Bikes disappear sometimes.
And that too. But it was just every square inch of the apartment counts. So I bring out the bike with the great intentions. I'm going to ride. I'm going to do. And this is before anything. And there's nobody really out. And so I get the bike and I would just go to the liquor store and come back and scared someone's going to jack it from me. You know, sometimes I wouldn't do that. So the bike would just sit there. So then I'd go, I need this area. So I'd take it back to my mom's house. And then I need my bike. And so I would go through that cycle. So one of the times I had the bike at my house, Kamisi comes over and he's like, oh man, you still got that, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah. And so I'm going to get a bike. Boom, he gets a bike. Okay. So then at this time, I had already been kind of, you know, on the BMX museum and in certain areas. I knew BMX was around. They would have an event once.
What year was this?
I want to say, the ride, I think it started in 2009, I want to say. 2000.
So a year before you started.
Yeah, about okay. a year before the start of the ride. And so me and Camisi, we start getting into riding, and then we went out to ride at the critical mass. There was no BMX, not one. Not, I mean, it was all fixies and everything.
And it's slower, too.
Well, back then it was a little hectic, but it was like, okay. It was already the LAPD ride, they would call it, because it was like LAPD, but it was thousands. It was overwhelming.
Okay.
but it planted a seed, and then you kind of knew what was out there. And then there was a few rides. The dude in the valley has a bike shop that they would get together and ride, but they were just friends. No promotion, no trying to get anybody.
What bike shop, do you remember?
I'm so.
Yeah, if we don't know, we won't wait. Yeah.
I know, but this is Paul, and Paul is, I don't know his bike shop, but he sells bikes. I think they're called Custom, I can't remember that either, but he sells a three-bar cruisers now. His name is Paul. He's fantastic. He's from the Valley.
Okay.
Come and ask me in person about him, and I'll if you're looking for okay. anything. But
so he had a ride.
Then there was some dudes that actually Cheech ended up meeting with, and the Thursday night ride, there was some buddies that were riding back then just together on the Thursday night ride. So a couple times we would go out with these people and just ride, and we'd kind of see, and it was kind of cool. And then me and Camisa are like, yo, let's, at this one time we were sitting down in my, I'll never forget, over a bong load, we're like, yo, let's put this, you know, we know there's people out there. Let's make a route. Let's start in Hollywood and let's end in downtown. I said, let's start up a BMX club at the same time. And I remember on our bikes growing up, we always had the 4130 sticker down on the 4132 being made, you know. So 4130 was always.
Yeah, how'd you pick 4130? I mean, it's obvious, but not obvious.
Because it's chrome ollie. And back in the day, you would have that sticker was on all the bikes. And 4130 was just, it kind of had that ring to it.
It still does.
It still does. So we started with the 4130 BMX club. Then we, under that, we were going to start the ride. So, we went out, we did a lot of footwork for the ride, and we got the route, and the route had the downhills and everything that the original riders know. Now the ride's a little different, a little more like, you know, kind of, it's a little easier, but back then the ride was a little more hectic.
Right.
So
it wasn't as bulky back then, right?
No, it started out about 60 though.
60. Was, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Cause now it gets to like 450 sometimes.
Yeah, no, we would get okay. to that. But so we got the route. And then I started in on like Craigslist and on BMX Museum. On there was the BMX Society. All these different things. I started up these threads, and they, you know, and I was very conscientious about being all exclusive. Everybody, come out! If you have a BMX bike, you're welcome. As long as you can keep up, you're with us. You know,
right.
Just really trying to be an all exclusive thing. The first ride came out, and it was 60 people. It was fucking amazing. It was on my birthday, actually.
Oh, really?
January 9th, and it was just, it was incredible.
This is the first official 4130 Subway Series? 4130
Subway Series.
All right.
The Subway.
2010.
Yeah, the Subway was part of the ride because it just was part of L.A. and part of Hollywood. Sure. So, so that's how that came up. So then we end up down going into the second ride. The second ride or the third ride, I think, is when Greg Hill reached out.
I bumped into him on the sidewalk at the same shop that the dude who told me about 4130 told me about. I'd never met him in my life. You're mentioning now. He's like, I'm Greg Hill, you know? And I'm like, oh, you're the BMX, blah, blah, and he's talking about his brand and what he's doing now. Okay, so go on.
So Greg Hill, he reached out. I think by the third or fourth ride, we had our first raffle where Greg Hill put up one of his retro frames,
which really? Was
an amazing gift and really bumped up the credibility. Right around this time, I've always been a hip hop head. There's this rapper, Kool Keith, from East Coast. And it's interesting, we brushed on him earlier, but he rapped with this guy on one of his projects named Jackie Jasper. Jackie Jasper was actually on the Dr. Doom. Dr. Doom album. Jackie Jasper lived in my neighborhood, and I met up with him around the same time. His manager had hookups on all kinds, like knew about state of the art, vlogs and, you know, right. stuff like that. So at the time, we hooked up this amazing. We had at this point, it started an amazing beginning because it was so organic. But we had these great thoughtful threads going on these websites on like the BMX Museum and this and that. Then I had I started up the with my buddy the vlog, which was fantastic. Had all our information right there. We were able to start putting sponsors up. So if you were going to give us something for the ride, we could put you up on the, you know,
like Greg Hill's frame type of stuff.
Yeah, and exactly. And we did that with his frame, and we would, we had our own content. It was fantastic. The ride started to really develop, and then you know, as soon as you start getting kind of above your britches, things started to rise. My buddy started to kind of get into a little bit of an issue over the club. The club, I was always under the impression that the club was going to be something along the lines of everybody could be in the club. You could have been in Manhattan, and you're an active dude, but somebody could be like an antisocial guy, could have been wherever he could have been at and been like, I'm part of this club. Okay. With no kind of like crap. But then once it started to build up and started to become something, these guys wanted to structure the club after a motorcycle club, like a motorcycle gang, I would call it.
But, oh, God.
Okay. So
that's how motorcycle gangs start.
So you would have a prospect, and you would have prospects, and you would have a dude that was on the low end of the totem pole that had to carry around the tools.
Yeah, I don't want to be cleaning other people's bikes so I can ride.
And you had to fly the colors. Okay. I remember, very vividly one time that we went to this Mexican spot in the valley with the club, and they were like, dude, at the last event, you didn't, you know, wear the orange and black. And I'm like, dude, I was wearing this shirt. Yeah, I was wearing a shirt, this Hollywood Street King shirt, which was the people they were making, helping us just as much. I was helping them out by wearing the shirt, but it was like, I don't wear colors. Cause if, you know, I'm the kind of dude that if you make rules, I break rules. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't like rules like that.
So I don't like uniforms.
I don't like uniforms. I don't particularly like rules. So I was like, so that at that point was when the divide came in my, and I was like, man, you know, so at that point,
what year was this?
This was the year it started the ride. This was probably five rides in.
Oh, this is instantly.
This was off to the moon.
Okay.
This was to the moon.
And organic is, the only way to be off to the moon is organic.
Dude, there's no way of putting it. It was just, every ride, 60, 125, 180, 260. I mean, was just like, it just going up, up, up.
Okay.
All right. So then we started having the riff. So, and then right around this time was when the Black Cloud hit. And the Black Cloud, this one still shakes me to this day. Feel very, you know, but we had a guy who actually fell and broke his neck on the ride. It wasn't on the ride. He put his bike on a ledge and tried to ride off the ledge, is where I try and get a little of my guilt back, a free zone. But he was at the ride, and he tried a trick, and he actually, this guy was a stand-up guy. Couldn't have happened to him. He had a beautiful family, wonderful guy, and it was very tragic. I mean, he went down. Everybody kind of, you know, was kind of shocked. I felt, you know, being in control, I felt I had to be responsible. I come over to the guy in his face, calm down, stay still, don't move anywhere. I broke my back, you know, my neck's broke. I say, no, you're not a doctor. You're not a doctor. I mean, and this stuff still chokes me up.
Man, you're getting me all.
And so upset. This was a situation where I felt too, where the responsibility and me and the other guy, he didn't shoulder the responsibility like I did.
Right.
I felt I did. So, and it added to the compounding of it all. And so that was very tough. And then on top of that, with all this stuff building up, the dude, my boy's girlfriend was getting involved. So, and I should have been cool, you know. She was like, she would call me up because I would do stuff. I would like not lie, but you know, anybody that knows what they're doing, I would say like, okay, we got into a problem with the LAPD at one point, and
the ride did.
Yeah, they came up to the meetup spot because originally we met in front, right at the subway station, not behind at the parking lot.
Okay,
right at the subway station, we would just flood Hollywood Boulevard.
Right.
And the cops came in. He's like, you can't be here. Go crazy, like gung ho, you know, LAPD dick cop.
You could be there, but it just seemed weird,
well,
probably.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, well, they So I wrote this article on the blog. I was like, and at the time, Kamisi's acronym was Book Night, And mine was the mayor of Hollywood. I said, the mayor and Boog Knight go to the LAPD to extend an olive branch.
Right.
Which I did. But
makes
he didn't go with
me. Okay.
But I wanted to include him because sure. we were friends. So I wasn't lying on the fact that nobody went, but I was trying to say he went with me. Well, his girlfriend starts emailing me. He didn't go with you. If you guys are going to get...
I knew that was what was coming next.
If you guys are going to get real advertisement, you need to be truthful and just. I go and I was like, look, this is. I could say, you know,
if your girlfriends, this works the other way around. But if your guy friends, once the girlfriend gets involved or the guy friend, if you're,
they're meant for each other, and it's all that. But it was just this was the bro stuff. This was like if we could have built a clubhouse in a treehouse. We would have, you know what I mean? And we would have been up there, and it's like, it would have been like no girls allowed type. But, you know, they got cooties, you know, it would have been like some boys were on our bikes, for Christ's sake, you know?
Okay. So
it's not. So anyway.
You reach out to them. Did that work?
No. It failed miserably. LAPD is ridiculous. And not until we got so big that they had to like work with us did they ever even. Enter in and being cooperative about anything. But
did they leave you alone most of the time, month after month?
No, they would track us. They would always be at the CVS, and they would be trying to pick off people drinking and smoking. And okay. And it didn't get to a certain point where there was so many rides that they started to be like, can we help you?
Did they make, I mean, I even see this now. Sometimes I think the police just mistake the riders for being more bad intention than they are just from appearance. When it's like, we're really just riding bikes. Like the whole fear that you have, this is preventing that.
Exactly. And I think I felt like they got over a certain hump of that when during my era.
Where okay.
It turned from like, these guys are just, you know, breaking all laws to like, no, these guys are just out riding their bikes. They need to stay together. Funeral processions go through red lights.
Yeah, so they blew a red light.
Certain
group,
things, you know, go through red lights to stay together. It was, you know, we weren't like, but no, they were never really involved like that, you know.
Because it's a pretty good feeling when you hear all the cameras going off as you fly through the red light in a group of 100. Like, what? Send me the picture.
It was definitely revolutionary for us to just blast through lights like that.
And in comparison to critical mass, it was probably a little more outrageous and BMX style.
It was BMX. It was a quick, back then the ride was quicker.
Yeah. Because I don't think BMX is just track. Like, it's using the sidewalk and the street and going against the lights when there's no cars in sight and doing the right thing when there is cars in sight. It's like using everything, you know?
That's what...
Cutting across the lot, the parking lot, the curbs.
I was very proud of the crowd back then because the crowd had everybody from collectors with their... Like, they were almost like... They had treated their bikes like low riders to the dudes that would just bonsai off stuff and just, you know, ditch their bike halfway up in the air, not even care. It's bouncing all around. I mean, it was literally from A to Z in the beginning. Dudes would drive up with, you know, cars, $60,000 cars, and other guys would get off the, you know, bus and pick their bike off the bus.
Still that way. Some dudes ride their bikes when they don't have bus money to the ride.
So, you know, that diversity to me was important. You know, it is important. But to kind of get back real
quick. That's still a big part of it, though.
To the riff, though, me and my buddy end up having a fist fight.
Ah.
I know.
At a ride or privately?
Privately.
Okay.
Privately. I was like, dude, let's squash this shit. You know, let's go to this bar we usually go to and let's squash it. This was right before the Beverly Hills ride, the first Beverly Hills route. And we end up going in there and, you know, and I start talking to him and we're kind of going and he's, you know, we're bumping heads. I can be a dick. I know this.
Okay.
I know this. You know, you could tell me I know this, but people that know me well, they know that I'm not, that's not it. That there's a lot more to me than just that. So when I go through my dick mode, they're like, Noah's being him. They give me some space for that because on the flip side, I'm going to be just as passionate about my love mode as I am about that. And so there's a payoff. So it's not like right. I'm just pushing people away. But so, and
yeah, just your route to get to what you're trying to get to might be a little rough.
I grew up my own, but he's as stubborn as a jackass, just like me. So we start bumping heads right away, and then I brought up his old lady, which I shouldn't have, and he knocked my block off, and he's way bigger than me. We started fighting right there in the bar, I remember she's like, not in here, not in here. And we're just like, oh, shit.
You're like, too late.
Well, that was the big, that was the Continental Divide.
Okay.
At that point, the ride, he wanted the club because they had already had all this stuff about the club was going to be, you know, prospects and this, all this shit. And he gave me the ride. And then with the ride, I had kind of came up with the Cromali Kings. So I took that with me. So at that point, I was on my own with the ride.
Okay.
He took the club. He did some great things with that club.
Okay.
I'm not, you know.
I know. It's good to hear you give him props at the end of this story.
Dude, I still got love for him. I mean, we were buddies, man. But he did some great things with that club, and then I went on with the ride at that point.
Okay.
And the ride just kept getting, you know, it really kept growing. And I was lucky enough to have some great networking from high school. So a buddy of mine came out who has been doing graffiti. I've always admired graffiti. I've always been on the, and you know, just like with the BMX, I've always been on like the peripherals of different cultures and been just really influenced and very impressed by him. So graffiti was right there with BMX.
I get that, because like BMX and skateboard, graffiti, tattoos, motorcycles, hip-hop. Hot rods, hip-hop, rock and roll, like all of it has the same like three X's in it that, you know, like
that's all right. The moves, yeah. All right. Fair enough.
They all fit together, even though they don't fit together, you know, like.
So my buddy he was from the Valley, big time. He came out and he started with me with the Cromali Kings. We started up doing some great, great shirts and, you know, and, excuse me, some great shirts. And, he would do great design.
Were you mixing your Cromali King logos and 4130 logos? Was it separate projects? No, was it together?
It was separate, but the Cromali Kings did put out the 4130 Subway Series.
Okay,
shirt.
And that's when you were you came up with Chromies, right? The Chromies is Chromies. You. Everyone tells me that.
Yeah, we the Cromali Kings, the Chromies, the Homies, yeah. Chromies. My, yeah,
yeah. You switched Homies to Chromies for BMX
so,
World, right?
You know, my main thing always was all inclusive, and I always wanted people to feel like.
How many groups were there back then when you were doing it? Because, like, you know, the Jets, the Goonies,
none of that.
Okay,
none of that.
All right.
In the beginning, I can't even think of the first real crew that came up, like that was really trying to like rep like that. Which I love all that. See, but it was just we were just all riding. At the beginning, I thought everybody was basically like a Cromali King, that was a Cromali King ride, you know. But I would say maybe, you know, it wasn't for a few years until people started doing other rides, which was always welcomed. From
what are you calling a few years? Like 3 years later?
Maybe three or 4 years.
And how long did you stay? Hold on, let's pause. This is a fake pause. With part two with the mayor of Hollywood, Noah Benjamin, originator of 4130. We just hit up to the 4130 BMX Club, went one direction. Noah took over 4130 The Ride. And where was it at the end of the year? What were the numbers getting up to and what was it like?
The numbers were in the strong twos, 250s around there every single ride, rain or shine.
Once a month, every Saturday, second Saturday,
once
right?
Once a month, every Saturday. And that's when we started. This is this is when the ride really started to kind of just roll and was some of the best times of my life and met some of the best relationships of my life and really defined my 30s, to be honest.
Okay.
So the ride, as soon as all that crap got out of the way of like, oh, people have to do this and that. It really just opened up as like, let's just take this to the moon, you know?
Well, one thing I think of that I like about the riding is even though, you know, we kind of tie it back to being kids and it's not even for me that it's not like, oh, I'm a kid again. It's the part where when you're just on your bike riding around town like you did when you were a kid, it is the chillest freedom and the easiest way to make friends because You're just riding bikes.
It really is. You really get into a pocket, I would say, where it's like you're talking with people, the music's going.
Yeah.
You're going to, you know, back then, LA's every year is getting more gentrified and gentrified.
True.
But when the ride first started, we were going to MacArthur Park. It was like, I mean, we were just mobbing in there. Some people wouldn't even go there. I always would go there because I live in the neighborhood, but you know, some people would never go there. You know, then they're in MacArthur Park from like Santa Clarita, and they're like, you know, and well, this is amazing. And then we're going down Sixth Street and going into downtown LA, and it's just, it's really overwhelming.
Well, when I came back here, you know, in 2016, I know my way around LA better than LA people because of riding with 4130.
Well, that is one of the only best, I won't say the only way, but one of the best ways to experience LA in
any city.
Oh, fair enough. But we definitely, so we started riding, we had these great opportunities. Like one night, the Nike 6.0 had a jam in the LA River, right there in the iconic part of the river where now they knocked down the bridge. I mean, it's totally gone now. Totally gone.
I was just talking about that on a Thursday.
This was an iconic area of the river. Any kind of Ice-T had videos. Cypress Hill had videos there. Anything you see. And we were right there. Nike had a full ramp right there in the tunnel. They had all these little things. We got there. The head guy from Nike that was involved with their sports division was like, oh my, he was floored. And that was so awesome. It's like, yeah, I got, you know, 200 people. Can we get in? He's like, I can't get everybody in, but oh my God, let's do something. And we never ended up doing something, but it was just being able to like impress people like that on a level.
None of the riders got onto the ramps or anything?
No, yes. Oh, yeah. We probably got in 50 people.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
absolutely. But that was one of the few times it sucked that not everybody carte blanche got in. But
right.
That was a fantastic night. And then there was another, this ride where it was an honor. After Pro started coming out with Scott Breithaupt. Now, he made a huge impression on my life.
He is SE. He actually SE.
Scott Enterprise. He
not SE Racing, not SE the team, not SE the company. He is SE.
He's what did all the founding stuff. I mean, he is that guy. Out of everybody I've met in my life, Scott Breithaupt's the most talented person I've ever met.
Really?
Absolutely, on numerous levels. That guy has been to the bottom, to the top, like 3-4 times over, all the way to the top. Not halfway up the hill, all the way to the top, and not halfway down the hill, all the way to the bottom. So he being around him was like being around, you know, a transformer on a wire pole. He was just electrified, and he came in, and a couple of the old guys would be like, "Hey, man, be careful. Be wary, Scott's kind of a..."
How established was he as a BMX guy at this point when you bumped into him?
100% established.
Like, he'd invented BMX, right?
Yes, but he had kind of within the realms of the higher echelon, like the BMX elite, they like to talk shit about him. Like, you know, Scott, this, you know, because he
was wild.
He had plenty of ammunition there.
Okay.
Too, you know, I'm not going to take that away, you know, but again, you know, Scott was incredible. But so he started coming around, and he did this thing called the 40 years of BMX, which was incredible to be involved in. He had this thing down in Long Beach. They established this day as a Long Beach Day of BMX. He had this huge museum set up, and he wanted us to host the ride, the 4130 ride.
Really?
He made this incredible, all kinds of, this is Bob Haro's artwork here.
Haro drew that?
He drew it in a previous time.
That's like the contest I was talking about.
Exactly. Yeah, that's Bob Haro's real original like artwork. He didn't draw it just for this, but somehow Scott got the rights to use it.
Okay.
And he made up these. This is our logo right here. Transition from the club to the ride, which
I'll show it.
But that's our logo in great, I mean, company right there. You know,
BMX Plus,
CW, S&M, you know. And
The museum's on
there. Of course. And also, it felt really good to be a part of this.
2010. All right.
And me and Scott worked together on the route, and he was incredible, man. I love that guy. I really do. So he got involved in the ride, and he started coming down and making friends with people and making enemies with some people. I mean, he got in a couple little squabbles, you know, not fist fights, but, you know, he wasn't scared to talk his shit. So he fit right in. So Scott started coming out. And then,
he fit right in.
Yeah. And there was a couple other guys. Now, the one thing that's got to be mentioned is Essie, you know, because we're talking about Scott. Now, there was times where I would see, you know, now Todd Lyons, who runs Essie now, I mean, he came around real early too. He right. came around real early, and he was hanging out, and you know, you kind of get confused. Like, are we friends? Are you come like you? And I'm cool with everybody, and I don't have money. So I've never had, like, if someone wants to hang out, I don't have any, like, oh, this guy just wants to hang out with me for this or this.
Right. That's using never me even for my nothing. Right.
For my nothing.
Yeah.
Perfectly said. Yeah. So I never even think like that. So he's out, and we're hanging out, and you kind of think everything's cool. But then you could kind of see where he was, like, you know, really kind of like marketing to the ride and doing different things for the, you know, and really trying.
He's in a business state of mind.
In a business state of mind, and kind of really, you know, capitalizing on certain parts of the ride without doing a collective. You know, it's almost like if you're a weed smoker and you got a collective farm, and everybody's putting in their work, their green thumb, and there's some dude sitting back there who's just kind of like, yeah, this is nice, put a little water, and then smoking as much as everybody else, even more, you know?
Right.
And you're like, essentially, at first, you're just kind of not paying attention. You're not doing inventory. But after a few, you know, years, you're like, damn, man, looking back, you know? So, you know, it was tough. So Todd would come in and do different things with SC. He never really gave back in. Now, it's hard because PK, Perry, dude, he's a real deal. That dude's a chromie. Like, I mean, Perry is Hall of Fame. That guy might as well be him. I look at everything through a basketball lens, so he might as well be Larry Bird. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And
even though it's like his vibe, but the reality also is like his name is been on all of our bikes since we were little kids. Like, he's got his own category of BMX entirely based on being the bike.
He's one of the dudes that is straight chromie, the coolest mofo. I mean, he's real. He's just one of us. And that's what it was all about. Never a hierarchy of, like, who, even the mayor, nothing. It was always just like a group of guys that were on each, just like, man, having a good time. Now, there might click up and might be the smokers over there, the dudes over here polishing, the dudes over here doing the flatland. But we were all, like, right there rubbing elbows together and very much intertwined with each other. And we would have the bunny hop contest, which was incredible. Because back then, now you go to the ride, and it's all guys like me, like guys that, you know, can get up a curb. They can do, you know, they can do little things here and there and do little stuff, but they're not. Back in the day, we had dudes that were Andrew Jackson. This dude was he could have jumped a car if he wanted.
Well, there are some jumpers along, but
I'm not going to discredit everybody. Yeah. I'm sure there are.
No, but also recently in San Diego, Omar usually rides the back. There was 20 people between me and Omar, and I was further back, and there was 15 behind me, and I was just thinking, like, do these people ever ride their bike when, like...
No, but back then we had dudes that, I mean...
Flying,
right? We had a dude that came out. Oh, man, I can't believe I'm spacing on his name right now. He is a legend. He was, like, 6'4", and he would hit the rails at MacArthur Park. That must be a 12-step rail, and he would just right down at that. I mean, he was incredible. There was riders there that were incredible. Incredible riders that would come out and just, like, really. So the Bentley Hop contest was competitive, 25 inches, 30 inches.
And also to see some of the stuff that we've seen on rides in a park or a skateboard park or just on a break that other people only see on TV, it's so much crazier in real life.
So it was fun. But another rider that came out that actually, Andrew Jackson's definitely notable, dude. He came out. He never really bought into the ride. So he wasn't like a Perry Kramer or anybody else in that regard, but he did come out. He was cool. But Ben Snowden, that guy was as cool as it can be, and he brought a cool factor to our ride that nobody else could. Ben had full ramp set up in his backyard, Ben's backyard. This thing, I'm talking, it was in like, you know, all these different magazine cutout, like, you know, these, all these articles and shit. His backyard was hooked up. We would go out to Santa Ana. He would host a ride. He took it serious. He did an awesome ride. Dude, there would be hot chicks everywhere. We would get back to his place. Music would be bumping. It was just, excuse me, an incredible, incredible time with Ben Snowden. Excuse me. Those are definitely some of the people that came in, some of the pros that came into the ride that I'm thinking of right now. There's some more too, but
who's some of your regulars that might still be around that weren't pros that we all see?
Well, Cheech. Let's progress on. Cheech was at the second ride. Cheech was me and Cheech hit it off immediately right away. Cheech was we're smokers. So we're heavy smokers. So immediately it's just sessions of like hour, like, yo, so getting to know each other, roll another one. So me and him just hit it off. And so I still talk to Cheech all the time. I still talk to, there's a few people that were buddies of mine from prior to the ride, and also people that I met reunited with at the ride from my childhood, which are cool that I still talk to.
Well, what part is like all the random guys that got inspired by the ride? Like, what were you doing? Were you giving dudes something to do, or what were they doing?
Oh, dude,
the ride cured them of their problems.
I'll tell you. All right, that's a fantastic question, because it brings back one of the feedback that people would give me that made me feel so good. It's kind of weird, but you'll see where I'm going. So people would come out to the ride and they come out and say, dude, Noah, I'm telling you, man, they say, dude, I feel so young. I feel so young right now. These are guys like my age in their 40s.
Right.
Like, I'm out here, dude, I'm listening to old music again. And my old lady's asking, what's gotten into you? You know, and I'm just like, oh, man, that's so it was very exciting. It had so many elements. It had a social element. It had an adrenaline element. It had, you know, just, being a part of a big group element. I mean, it was which I guess.
So you know what other element it has? It's not a project where you have need tickets. You need to get, you like put on what you feel like to go ride your bike. You grab your bike and go out. It's that simple.
This between the 2 to 5 year era is when people really started being regulars from Santa Barbara, being regulars from the high desert.
Is that the crew that's doing the 4130s in Santa Barbara?
Some of them, but they would be out there. Absolutely. They were some of the original dudes, but it would just be in general. I'm just speaking in general. People would travel. You would look at the group and I'm right there. Hollywood, the meetup spots. I could almost throw, you know, a football from my place to there, but everybody, I would be astonished by like, oh, this, you know, people coming in from, you know, sometimes really far. So about a year in is when I made a relationship with a buddy of mine from Boston.
And basically still this is, at this point, it's still 4130. It's a ride and they're not everywhere, right?
No.
Okay. Not the BMX ones.
Somebody could probably correct me on this if I'm wrong, but it was either Las Vegas or Boston was the first, second ride. And it was about a year in when we started going, we need to take this show on the road and we need to ride different areas. We wanted to go to Vegas. We had all these different cities and we ended up going to all of them. But Vegas was one and we went to Vegas. That was an incredible, incredible experience. The guys there were cool. They knew about us. So they welcomed us in with open arms.
Oh, you teamed up with some locals to do that.
Absolutely. But okay. Yeah. But it was amazing because once you took an inventory of who was at the ride, the people at the ride would probably been 75% from LA. Okay. Dude from LA that packed up all together, rode out there. There's some great documentaries. Look up, you know.
There's no better way to see a new city.
Team Hard Hard did a great documentary. I still look at 12 hours, 4130 Las Vegas ride. They just drove out to the ride and came right back. But fantastic videos. But So when we went out there, they started up a 4130 Sin City series.
Okay.
And they got started to go. And working, and the guy started, me and him were buddies, and he's a good guy, and we started to kind of network, and then I started to communicate with this dude from Boston, who now, I'm talking about Cheech too, this dude from Boston, I mean, he's like he's the closest thing right now I feel I have to a brother. I mean, right. he's all across the country, but that's the kind of bond we built off of the ride, you know? That's what's...
He came here and rode, right?
He came out here, and what we did for him was we raised the money for him to come out. Everybody pitched in.
Okay.
It was, see, that's what it was. That was the original feeling.
Okay.
Everybody pitched in, got this guy a ticket, and we got this guy out here. He slept on my couch, took him to the ride. I didn't know who the fuck he was.
Whose bike did he ride? One of yours?
Yeah, he brought out, he was very strict about that.
You guys were riding 20s mostly back then, right?
No, I wasn't, but there were a lot of dudes riding 20s.
Yeah, because now sometimes when we're all in our 29s, someone like Cheech will be like, I remember when everyone was on 20s. You know?
Back in the day, it was diverse. Yeah, now everybody rides a big easy, you know, but yeah. Back
including then, me.
Including me.
Yeah, but 29s make life a better place.
But no, it was definitely a quicker, faster ride. And so those guys felt more comfortable that were with us on the quicker, faster bikes.
Right.
So it really started to take off. We started to go different places. And then
you guys went to Boston with him, right?
Okay, so me and Cheech, we saved up our money. And this was a little bit later in the run. Me and him saved up money. Me and him got on a plane and getting in a plane. Then Cheech is just... For those that don't Cheech is like blasted all over his face. And back then he wouldn't wear hats. He would just have his hair all in this crazy ponytail. I mean, he looked like a freak. I mean, you know, that mascot, you know, but me and him are like this. And at that time I had a beard down to here. So a lot of ways we were like Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, how'd you guys get through the airport? You would never be able to do that now.
quick story. We're at the airport. Our bikes are all biked into these big giant boxes. We have all this weed and everything.
Oh, God, what's wrong with
that? In the handlebars. We took off the grips, put them in the handlebars, put the grips back on. Everything was... And they go in there and they're looking for bomb stuff. I guess they had to open it up. And we were all kind of, oh, shit, if you open it, everything kind of, it's all...
Take my grips off.
Cheech, there's a window that's only like about, you know, just like a head. And Cheech is looking through that window in there. And I'm like, don't look in there. You know, it's like, that looks... I was kind of doing a little racial profiling myself. I was like, Cheech, you don't look right looking through that window. Those guys are going to see you and think we're fucking...
We look like we have weed in our handlebars.
Me and him had the friggin' best time. We went out to New York. Me and him went out to New York. We stayed in New York together. We rode with the D-Blocks, took us out. It was cool meeting him.
Oh, you rode with D-Blocks back then?
We went up to Rutgers Park. And
what year was this?
This, fuck, man. I'm bad with years, but this was probably 4 years in. Because I was probably did it for like six years.
I didn't realize D-Blocks has been a part of it for so long. I thought he was rolling on his own doing wheelies.
Well, he's another one that, you know, is everybody knows. Todd just kind of like...
Well, yeah, he's like episode 11 or something.
Todd just grabbed
of
him.
This show.
Todd grabbed him in, and so he was always kind of, you know, he knew about us, and he came out a couple times. So he came out to one of our rides, and he took good care of us out there. And then me and we rented a car and drove.
So
up.
Even he, so I didn't even realize. So he didn't even like hear off SE rides and start his rides. Like he's been on 4130s back in the day too.
He's been on one photo that I remember.
Oh,
my
you guys
watch.
Went there and did it with him. You found how'd you find him?
Todd brought him out. Todd flew him out to a ride.
Okay.
And then he came out. He was wearing all he came out for Scott Breithaupt's ride that we did for Scott after he passed away.
Okay.
We did a ride for Scott I've seen Scott Breithaupt ask Todd for a sweatshirt and Todd kind of like blow him off, right? But as soon as this went down, Todd bringing out people to our ride and capitalizing on our ride and trying to get up and talk and make speeches at our ride, like it's and that was us memorializing one of our own, which was Scott was one of our own.
Yeah, plus, I mean, I'm going to just assume it was part of it when you were doing it. But like 4130 isn't a brand ride. 4130 is the only brand, which is, in its sense, a no-brand brand, but it's the brand of the ride. Show up on any brand bike, you know,
but just that feeling. So we did a ride for Scott, and then Todd brought out
D-Blocks. So you
D-Blocks
guys went
cool, yeah,
D-Blocks cool,
yeah. And then I think that might have been after me and Cheech went out there and rode with him.
Okay.
And then we got a rental car and we went up and did Boston. And on the way there, we stopped by the NBA Hall of Fame, of course.
At okay.
Springfield. Had to go there. But we had an incredible time, me and Cheech. It was great. Roberta came out, which was, she was a big part of our ride. Roberta, back then,
I've been to the museum, by the way.
The Queen Chromie, Roberta, you know, and we would have Chromie of the Year. Amper got Chromie of the Year one time because he would give back, and I would try, you know, put him on the website, Chromie of the Year trophy.
He still gives back to 4130.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, even though this is your episode, the bike in the back of my truck that you just saw, my bike got jacked out of the back of my, anyway, Amper and Julio threw parts together. I covered very low costs. And they had me riding this Redline Monocoque 2941 Thursday Monster within 7 days.
Dude, that, so, and that's what it's about, dude. Is that community? That's, I mean, I love that. I like thinking that some dude from the ride back when I used to do it, especially because I knew everybody then. Some dude at the ride might have had a wedding, and he might have had his best man might have been somebody that he met at the ride. You know, that's how close these. I would look at you when I was on Facebook. I would see guys. They would go camping. I said, "Fuck, that's him, him, and him." I said, "They, that's awesome. That's
yeah.
You know." So that was like, that was huge back. And this time, it was there was not a lot. There was a couple haters around. A couple dudes hate on me. But I mean, we really just pushed through all that, and the ride really had a positive energy all the way through.
One thing too, though, is you're transitioning from being young to older, and people. Having kids and getting married and going different directions, the finding other bike friends, all of a sudden you have a period where you're isolated, like before your boy got his bike, when you kept bringing your bike, because I had that story in New York and my brother mailed me a bike, and it's like, but then when you find other bikes to ride with, you're like, I don't even, there's not like the, I don't have the words, but you know what I'm saying, like, you're like, oh, this is great, you know? Especially if everyone can ride at the same speed and keep up.
We had Amper, bringing up Amper, he did the ride to Oceans, the first Oceanside ride. Now that's a hallmark of the ride.
I've been the monkey.
Yeah. That didn't sound great, but
that was
still
the hardest ride.
Yeah. But we did that where we got on the train. Everybody back then, everybody piled on the train. I mean, if dudes were, you know, like Cheech and some other dudes smoking in between cars, it was just straight crazy chaos. Went down there, had an awesome ride. They had a band because one of the dudes that got together that played instruments. I mean, it was just,
Amper treated the whole ride to pizza in the park. Yeah,
back then, same thing.
Yeah. Right?
Popsicles, I think it was. But it was,
yeah, we had those too.
You know, it was just so many good times, so many good times. And in that era, I got to say, like I said, it defined my 30s and was some of the best times of my life. And some of the best camaraderies that I have of my life. So that it started to change once I had a son and I started to change. Not so much the ride, but then I started to change. And then I would always get so, oh, man, too many hills. You know, there's always people.
You're the one that became different. Like,
you're always like you're like a chef and you're bringing out food and like, you know, everybody at the table, you know, most of the people are like, damn, man, I'm stuffed. That was great. And then you always got one guy going, was that gluten free? Was it, you know,
you became the gluten free guy?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, okay.
You know, they were yelling that to me because I made the meal.
The meal was the meal. Oh, and they were saying too many hills to you.
Too many. They're like, dude, there's, so you would always have these guys, man, too many stops, or man, there's, you know, this, we shouldn't have done that. Next time, can't we do this? So, and in the beginning, I would always be like, almost like a question box, like a suggestion box. Like, okay, I'll take that into account.
Yeah, you can't please 450 people at the same time.
But that started to wear on. And once I started to kind of, you know, once my son started to come around, and my son, I always tell people, my son got past the goal. Like, you know, I wasn't planning on having 6 months before I had my son, my mom was like, Noah, am I ever going to have a grandchild?
You're like, no.
I said, don't hold your breath. Exact words. Don't hold your breath. And somehow she rubbed some kind of thing, belly, something. And boom, he got past the goalie. And all of a sudden, I'm going to have a kid. When I started having a kid, all my energy that I have in my body, I started to understand that there wasn't unlimited. That this energy was, there was only so much energy that I had.
And yeah, the ride was probably...
That I started to realize how much energy the ride was taking.
It was the kid while you
were. It was a transition of my life. You know, it wasn't the, so at that point I started to kind of get, and then I have felt like I had always been there. When I finally started to come to the realization that it's time for the ride to kind of come to an end, that I felt like a sunrise and a sunset. Mind you, at this time, other rides started popping up. Really good rides. All those rides that you're talking about in the beginning of the
You were still around when those started.
Most of them. And they started up, and there's some really good alternatives now. It's not the 40, not just the 4130 is the only thing going. So there was other stuff going. I started to think like to myself, look, maybe I'll just do 3 rides a year. Maybe we'll just do like Magic Johnson, have a summer nights, you know.
Right. One thing I have to say as a rider, though, is like consistency is the one of the most important factors of the ride.
But there's all these other rides. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. No, I don't mean, but yeah, even if that was consistent, but like once they're in place, I just don't want them to change.
We'll see. And so
you shouldn't have to look at Instagram to know if your all the time ride is still there.
So this is where I was getting ready to say, look, let's make Hollywood. We'll just blow it out as like the mega ride, like a few times a year. And that's what I have energy for. Right. And that's what my vision was going toward. And I had done all this groundwork for the ride.
You got too many people excited and happy.
So what it did, but the people closest to me were like, no. And I'm like, no, you can't do that. And it's like, what are you talking about? I can't do that. The ride's right here. It's my house. And it's like, I made up to everything. Why can't, no, you can't, everyone. And it's like, dude, I can do whatever, you know. It's like, you know, if I say it's not going to be a ride, then there ain't going to be no ride. And these guys are like, no, there will be a ride. Well, I'm like, we're starting to get into this little thing. And it's like, to give the ride to this, give the ride to that. And I'm like, fuck no, I have a vision now, and the vision's changing. There's other rides out there.
Right.
So in the beginning, I was being my rigid dick self. I was like, no. But at the same time, I felt I had a reason to be that way, because this was my little baby that I fucking that I put in blood, sweat, and tears. Remember the story I told you in the beginning? This ride defined my 30s. This ride, I was completely immersed in this ride.
Right.
And everything about this ride had something to do with something that I had made up or thought about or did. So just giving it to somebody else was like, that don't even make sense. And being from a huge follower of graffiti, being a huge follower of hip hop, you know, I started thinking, man, these guys, man, like I wanted them to be more, if someone wanted to start a ride, they could have started their own ride. That's how I thought. If someone's looking at me going, no, you can't do this. No, you know what? There's a huge vacuum. There's going to be so many people that want to ride. Well, what I'll do is I live over here. I'm going to start a ride over here, and I'm going to invite all these people over here. And now there's another ride. But no. They wanted to start the ride where I started the ride. They wanted to call the ride what I called the ride. They wanted, you know, and at the time I got it. But at the same time, I was like, man, these guys are buyers. Like they can't think of their own shit. They can't even come up with their.
I knew this moment was going to come up in the thing. And on one level, as a comic, like you see other people take your jokes and you're like, fuckers. And then on another level, I wanted to tell you, because I knew you were going to say this though, is all these guys, and because before I even met you, I had already heard about you and the word inspired, which I think is like a corny word. But since I hear it from a bunch of tough guys that ride bikes, it's not as corny. But that's what I wanted to tell you, even though we're ready for the rest of the story. Like you inspired so many people with your ride that I don't think you... Well, I don't know what you realized and didn't realize, but whether you knew it or not, that ride that you made had given so many people, you know, a foundation of their month and something to that. Like,
even if you
had grown out of it or your kid, whatever, for whatever reason, they couldn't give up what you'd created for them. You know,
it took me time. It took me a long time because I am stubborn. to let that sink in. Everybody's told me the same thing. Like, not everybody, but a lot of people that I've really pressed about it have told me the same thing that you just mentioned. And it's very much and now that I'm a few years off of it, and that I moved out of Hollywood, I felt, when I'm just recently moved out of Hollywood, I felt such a sense of pride, excuse me, over the fact that I left the ride behind. Hollywood's a big pond, right? No, don't let anybody, I mean, it is kind of a small town in a sense. If you live there, you know it's a small town. But when you go there, people don't survive there. It chews you up and spits you out.
It's true.
So being able to survive there was one thing, but being able to leave there and leave something there that I started,
yeah,
that's still in Hollywood, that's still a part of the people see go down the boulevard and whatnot. That was, so it became a part of pride, but I wasn't in the beginning feeling that. I was like,
I understand.
Still,
yeah.
So I had kind of lost a few friends over that because they were willing to let the ride lose the friends with me. And I started realizing that, man, a lot of people weren't really friends with me. Like, they liked the idea of being friends with the guy who started the ride more so than Noah, you know,
okay,
than dealing with shit that Noah has to deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Okay.
If it was like a cool, we were, you know, guys would sleep on my couch. I mean, every ride come over. And then when I felt like I was in a hard time, like nowhere to be found, you know what I mean? Yeah. And not that they were even in a hard time, I guess, but guys that would just sleep on my couch, and guys that come over, and guys going through divorces, and the one in particular, you know, my dog walking client at the time was Iggy Azalea. And I never would ask her for anything. Never. My buddy's going through a divorce. His kid likes Iggy Azalea. So I'm going to go to Iggy Azalea and ask him for an autograph for his daughter, because I'm really trying to be a friend, you know? Yeah. And again, I would have never done that for my son. I don't even care if it was a Star Wars. I was walking Chewbacca's dog.
Dude, it's weird that you said that. My dad got me Chewbacca. Oh no, Chewbacca was so sweaty, the actor, when he was signing the autograph, that my dad didn't ask for me and my brother because somebody else had signed.
Is that, yeah, Kevin McHale?
Yo, no, I don't know who the actor was.
But anyways, these are things I did. So when it came around the backside where I was going through this transition and fuck, dude, my buddy Basta in Boston will tell you, I was a nervous wreck when I found out I was having a kid. I still am. You know, to be worthy enough to be a father is one of the biggest responsibilities in the world. So
I'm not one.
I've never felt that I've never felt secure in that. So it's always been, I've always needed the village to help me, prop me up to be the father that I need to be for my son.
Right.
So in those times, I had buddies, they weren't there. And then I started realizing, okay, then you get to a point where who are your real friends, you know?
Right.
And that was kind of getting into an area where it's like, all right, now I'm thinking about the ride. Told before, plus everybody was,
even aside from the ride, all those things you're mentioning just happen in life at that age anyway.
Yeah. So I was a transition. So I ended up starting to make the real decision to end the ride and put the final date on it and had the final ride and did that and felt good about it. And then the thing I got to say about Cheech is that out of all those people that were the closest to me, Cheech included, that were eyeing the ride, for whatever reason, multiple reasons, some of the reasons you're talking about, some of the reasons maybe a little more selfish.
Right.
They're eyeing the ride. They ended up, Cheech was the one that handled it in my eyes correct. He let me vent. He let me go through my stages of grief. He let me deal.
Yeah, that's a big part.
You know, he let me deal. And then he was right there to, like, when I was ready, he was right there with his hands out and he took the ride. And like I said, now I'm proud about the ride still going. It's nothing the same. I still have some qualms about it. Like, they shouldn't, you know, they could have changed the name. They could change some of the, you know, the artwork. They're still using artwork that it goes back to petty, like, you know, cover band shit. You know, it's like, do you want to go see Led Zeppelin or do you want to go see Led Zepp again? You know, and it's like, I want to go see Led Zeppelin, you know, and it's like, and now you got Led Zepp again, you know, so it's kind of the cover band thing. But
you even come out for some rides though. You still.
So I have a great, So basically my life has changed completely. It's as it was when I led the ride. When I led the ride, I managed a 40-unit building, 1920s building in Hollywood. I had been in Hollywood for about
10, 15 years through that period. Well-rooted, lots of friends in the middle of the city, the belly of the beast, helicopters circling overhead, sirens, you know, people screaming, the whole bums, everything, the whole nine.
Not here.
And I just, I was turning me into a New Yorker. And so I was getting like, ah, fuck you, fuck. And I'm already like that. So it was, you know, making it kind of hard on me. So I said, you know what? Around this time I needed a change. And I ended up getting a cabin up in the mountains, and I had it for a year, and I was weekending, coming up here on the weekends and going back to LA every week to work. And this dude up here, totally fucking random. We have outhouses. That's how remote we are. We're right on a creek.
He came to the mountain to escape. Yeah, I'm here. Trust me, the road we just drove down, like, I didn't even want to drive down.
Dude, this is straight Alaska, Colorado, you know, straight up. So
I'm still scared of getting back out of here.
So we end up, I'm back here. This dude pulls out a 1992 Robinson Cruiser out of his outhouse.
Wait, let me just re-stress. He did tell me the story. Okay. We really are in a cabin, like in the woods, where you wouldn't even expect a street BMX bike at all. And like, we're in the boon, dock, mountain. Okay.
Right. So my immediate neighbor pulls out a chrome 1992 Robinson Cruiser.
Didn't even know who you were, though.
Didn't know who I was. Didn't know I have the same exact bike. And I said, oh, shit, man, look at that. We start chucking it up. He said, oh, my son took it to college, and I got it back, and blah, blah, blah. I love bikes. And I tell him about the ride. And he's like, dude, let's go. So he takes me down. He starts getting me out to the ride. And it felt good because, honestly, I wouldn't have gone back, you know, if it wasn't for new blood like that, some fresh blood going, feeling that, like,
obviously you were meant to go back if some random dude in the mountain has a matching bike. Well, yeah, with you.
But it was just that, fresh blood, yeah, of him, like, let's go, let's do this adventure.
That's how it started.
Are you telling me these guys are riding their bikes down in Hollywood through the streets? Like, I'm up for it. And I was like, let's do it. So pull up. So he takes me down, and so it's been nice. And getting down there, then getting there feels great, because then I see some of the guys. And it's like, oh man, fuck, how's the family? And it's nice catching up, and it's nice, you know. But then at the same time, I also, dude, it's weird because the bickering still goes on, because I'm still, excuse me, buddies with Cheech. So I hear a lot of the, you mentioned earlier, dude, this group of guys, you got these guys tattooed down. These guys look like, you know, these guys look like they might have just gotten out of prison, you know, and like in prison, you're not supposed to talk any politics, you know. So you look at these guys, man, that guy probably don't say nothing. And then he'll just start talking like a Yenta in from New York, you know, just gossip queen.
Well, it's so, like Pulp Fiction. It's like a bunch of like old school gangsters, but they, everything is drama,
right? Straight gossip. And that stuff still goes on. I still come up. It's like, so, it's nice. The thing about the ride I see now is,
wait,
like,
but from, I told you come up, but you've never come up from gossip. You come up from people telling the stories of how it all started. Right, glad, yeah. I'm like, glad, yeah.
The land. Yeah. But no, I hear the other side, like, no one ever told me to turn down my music and, you know, shit like that. You know, I was like, oh, whatever, but
that's just guys being goofballs.
Exactly. That's, but it's, yeah, the gossip thing. It's, yeah, the, it's, and the fact that it gets back to me is the gossip thing. So it's still, you know, that stuff. So
we got basically a lot of loud music
with the ride. When I go back, I can't say it enough. The ride defined my 30s. I've had some of the best. If I was to write a list of the 10 best things that's ever happened to me in my life, there would be a few things of the ride on that list. I mean, it's been a huge part of my life, a wonderful thing. But when it was over, after I went through my grief period of everything, it went, and going back to it, it was almost like if you ever had this experience of having a girlfriend and you break up with the girlfriend, and you break up with her, but then there's a couple nights you're kind of lonely. You drink, you're out drinking. You're like, you can't find it. You get a little desperate. You're like, damn, you think of the old times, like, fuck, man. But then you end up running into the girlfriend and she's with the new dude and she's doing the same crap that drove you nuts. And you're like, oh, he can have her. You know what I mean? It's like, so there's a bit of that there. So it's nice to go out and not feel any responsibility, not feel any kind of bad feelings, but just be able to go, oh, that's good for them. You know, they got their ride. They got the walkies, you know. It's interesting. I kind of did the ride. I did have help, but I mean, to see what they have now, safety crews, and they don't go down Sixth Street. I mean, it's evolved huge than what it was. It's not even, it's in a lot of ways, it doesn't even resemble the ride in a lot of ways, but they've, you know, what they've done with it. I go out, it's still a good time, still socially, everybody's having a good time. You know, it's fantastic. So I'm extremely happy about how I went through ups and downs mentally myself, but as soon as I came out the end of the canyon, I feel good about everything. And I'm glad that you guys are still riding.
Yeah.
And
well, one of the good things about the BMX rides is it's the only place where people don't get annoyed if you incessantly talk about BMX bikes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, because if you're with your regular friends going on about your bike, they're like, see ya. But if you're in a ride,
And these guys are literally, there's a lot of guys at the ride that have their like relationships in jeopardy because they're just like buying bikes, you know?
Yeah.
And well, it's a good
thing. But some of the guys have families and they get to buy more bikes for secretly for themselves, for their wives and kids.
Well, that too. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. No, so it's the ride. I mean, I can't say it. And dude, being that moniker, the mayor of Hollywood, brings so much pride. I had the Facebook page with 4,500 friends. I had decent relationships with people all over the world. It was a time that was incredible for me. And I look back at those people and those times with the most fond memories. But it's just, I feel now this life now with the cabin and doing what I do now has taken some of that void of energy, and is what I've kind of ended up doing more so. And now, instead of falling in love, I've always fallen in love with sounds. First, it was the sound of a swish. Then it was the sound of a freewheel. I even like sounds of home runs hitting the bat, sounds of guys hitting.
And what do you like now?
Now I like the sounds of my feet walking on the trail. The rhythm of me going up the trail with my dogs.
I feel myself coming in here before you saw me. And I said, you know, every great story about the origin of something and every movie and every fable, some guy has to go to the mountain to get the answers from the guy that started it. We really are. Nobody named
every great story from the Bible on, every metaphor, every fable. So often do we hear about going to the top of the mountain to meet the wise old man or to get the story from the great hero of the past. Well, we're literally doing that today for the Race BMX show. We're going to meet the mayor of Hollywood, the man who started 4130, the man behind rides and ride outs, depending on what neighborhood
we are. Nobody named the mayor of Hollywood you would ever expect to find them here. I know I wouldn't. And especially not after just hearing about him in my hat. And here we are now. Yeah. But yeah. Here we are with Noah, and you've actually escaped Hollywood in the ride, but you still come visit sometimes.
I do. I love, and I'll be back, and you'll see everybody at the ride.
And also with all the PKs and, you know, the PKs, the Todd Lyons, the Greg Hills, all the 80s BMX riders that we talk about, you know, we got to give it up to Noah Benjamin, the mayor of Hollywood, because you're like a fast Eddie Felsen in the BMX world. You're like the guy who wins the tournaments in the back room. Like, you're just as big a part of BMX as all the magazine photos.
Thank you for saying that. I don't necessarily think that there's that much, but I definitely feel happy and proud for bringing everybody together and letting people that were those guys that looked up to those guys ride with those guys. And that I was one of those guys, and that it was fantastic to be able to ride with Greg Hill, ride with Scott Breithaupt, become friends with Scott Breithaupt, hang out with Perry, know Perry on a personal level. I mean, this all stuff was really awesome.
Yeah, the magazine you looked at when you were a kid, you went inside that magazine in your adult life.
So yeah, man, definitely it's going to keep a smile on my face, a twinkle in my eye, and you know, and for the rest of my life, because that was a fun time. And anybody, guys, they still meet up, look for them, the 4130 Subway Series. They travel a lot now, but you can find them, I think, on Instagram. Where's their best?
Yeah, 4130 Subway Series, 41 Thursday, both are on Instagram. This is the Race BMX show. which was inspired by 41 Thursday and 4130 Subway Series, which was invented by this man. So this is my, I don't know which season for you this represents, but I'm glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
And for all you that watch that are on the scene, thanks for coming out. And, you know, we're hitting up everybody now. Thanks, Noah.
Thank you.
All right.